Welcome back to the DNA Pest Control Podcast. We are not in the studio today.
That's okay. We're still here to record.
We are still here to record. Aaron, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Good, good. Yeah, excited because we have another pest guest.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Last month was really pest guest heavy, and it's still fun to have them keep rolling in. So today I'm actually really excited. Today we have Adam Holt. He has 25 years experience in the industry. A couple things about him before we bring him on. He is a board certified entomologist, and currently he's a director of operations for a smaller pest control company out here in Vista, California. He is going to go over a lot of some of the stuff he's been through his social media, through the business, and through implementation for, you know, help you guys that are listening. So Adam, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Awesome. Hey, man, thank you so much for taking time out of your Saturday to come on the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Adam, do you want us to tell us a little bit about you? Who is Adam Holt?
Oh, man. Who is Adam Holt? You know, been in the industry again 25 years. So thanks for the introduction. So I feel like I've kind of been around the world with pest control. You know, I mean, I started my career with the Department of Agriculture in Gainesville, Florida. So I'm actually a gator. It's stamped on my arm. Yeah. So I'm in Florida for almost 9 years. So I almost finished my PhD. I guess it's ABD, all but dissertation. Never finished. So it wasn't because of, you know, I don't know that whole story. That's a story for another time. You know what I mean? And so, but yeah, I've been in the industry that long. I started out, like I said, with Department of Agriculture as a laboratory technician in their entomology department. Went from there over to mosquito control on the public health vector side. So at that point, I was an education specialist / public relation person / computer person / like a little bit of everything. That's when I really started getting into compliance and regulatory on the public health vector side. And so anytime we had like a West Nile virus, you know, outbreak in Florida, I would be the, you know, the face of the news for, you know, the district. So that was a pretty cool experience.
Wow.
At that point, I was also an adjunct professor for a local college in Jacksonville. So I was working all day long at mosquito control and then working all night long as an adjunct professor. So at a certain point in your life, you get to the point where you're like, I'm kind of tired of working all day long, two jobs. So somebody came and pushed me from Terminix. So I was like, oh, what's this Terminix thing? Maybe I should give that a try. And I feel like, raise your hands if you've worked at Terminix before.
Yeah.
And so I went over to Terminix as a commercial salesperson. And that was a very interesting venture. But I definitely have a relatively extroverted personality. So doing sales was not hard for me. You know, I'm educated from that perspective. And so I did that for a year. However, when I went to Terminix, I remember walking, I did the Aspire training. So anybody who's worked for Terminix knows what the Aspire training is. That's their onboarding. And so that's a week long experience. And so I went to that training, and the guy who was training me at that point, that person was Wally Holden. And I remember walking up to Wally and I was like, here's my resume. How do I do what you do? And so we started having a conversation, and within, you know, less than a year, I had his role for Florida. So I became a regional technical specialist for Florida.
Wow.
And that's when I got really into, you know, learning the ins and outs of real pest control. You know, that was kind of my first, I would say, like, dive into pest control at that point, from the residential and commercial aspect, and, you know, crawling underneath houses and crawl spaces and going through attics and, you know, running into all kinds of stuff. I mean, I even ran into a homeless person one time underneath a crawl space.
Oh, dang.
That was a very interesting experience. And so in that realm with Terminix, I also got really into technology. And so they rolled out these things called the handheld CM50s at the time. And that's what they did all of their recording all their service reports on. So really got into technology. That was a huge deal for me. And so that segued into my next role, where I went to work for a company called SurfSuite. They're one of the largest pest control software companies out there. They're AKA ServiceTitan. I think now they're PestRoutes.
Yep.
So I'm sure everybody's heard of them. Actually, I think Field Routes now.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've gone through a numerous amount of changes. And so I went to work for them as a commercial entomology analyst. And I was also on a patent for a electronic rodent monitoring device with them called Surf Sensor. Mm-hmm. So I really got to be a part of that experience from conception to execution, you know, molding and manufacturing out of China, the whole process. So that was really cool. I'll fast forward so I don't bore you too much. I went from there over to, I was actually at that point, I was living in Florida, moved to Colorado, and then parted ways with SurfSuite. And then I took a small short stint with a startup cannabis company in Colorado named Urban Grow. So I was their biologicals program manager, where I was basically writing IPM programs for all of the big key like cannabis players out there, like Candescent, Trulieve, all those different players. So that was a really cool experience to go in these, you know, warehouses where there's six stories of them growing all these cannabis plants.
Dang.
Wow. Wow. Really, really cool experience to see all of that, write their IPM programs. Literally the IPM programs included everything from all of the biologicals, the, you know, the good biopests to feed on the bad ones. So it was like literally breeding all of these cool insects and everything. So just a cool experience that. That unfortunately turned into a typical startup company where they overpromised and underdelivered. And so that turned into me playing Mario Run on my phone and fulfilling QuickBook orders for people. So I was like, this is not going to work. I'm going to go crazy. So I unfortunately parted ways with them. And then I took a job. I moved from Colorado to Michigan, took a job with a lawn care software company called Real Green. They are the largest lawn care software company who is now owned and got acquired by PestPak, which I'm sure you've heard of PestPak. Mm-hmm. And so was with them for almost a year. They basically sold while I was with them, and then they restructured. And so that in turn executed me out of the company. And that's when I actually segued into, you know, this is kind of a good story here, is that LinkedIn is such a powerful tool. And I tell people, if you don't use LinkedIn and you don't network, I think right now I have a little over 6,000 followers. Networking is like crucial to basically keeping yourself, you know, stable in the pest control industry, especially. And so I was already networking with people and, ended up connecting with a company out of Sacramento, California called Advanced IPM. They're probably number 35 on the PCT Top 100. Connected with them. It was literally like that thing where like the stars align, right? I mean, literally their safety person of 30 years was retiring. They were thinking about hiring a technical director. So it was like this perfect time to get together. And so they brought me in to interview, and then I took over that role and became their first technical director. So I relocated now from, so I've gone from Florida to Colorado to Michigan, now to Sacramento, California. All this on the map, right?
Back and forth. Yeah.
I'm now in Sacramento as the technical director for Advanced IPM. That turned into just a plethora of just compliance, regulatory, training. We launched a new software called Clipboard, if you haven't heard of that. That's owned by Terrier Technologies. It was initially started by Stacey O'Reilly with Plunkett's. I'm sure you've heard of Plunkett's Pest Control out of the Northeast. I don't know if you have, but they're like a $65, $70 million company.
No.
And so basically we launched Clipboard, and that turned into me hiring a software developer and managing a software developer. Because unfortunately, as crazy as it sounds, I'm very technologically savvy. So I ended up getting pulled into a lot of these technology roles, even in the pest control industry. Which becomes challenging, because I get caught up in these roles where I'm like, I love bugs, I'm a board certified entomologist, you know what I mean, why am I doing all this technology stuff that I get caught up in,
right?
So keep going from there. Sorry, my computer keeps coming up with this force quit application on Chrome. Is everything okay?
Yeah.
We're going there, man.
Good.
Your system has, hold on, let me force quit some of this other stuff real quick in case it's trying to.
Yeah, of course.
I'm assuming you can edit all this stuff.
Yes, we can.
We're keeping it in.
Okay, gotcha. Keeping it
raw, perfect.
Right? I love the raw stuff. I mean, you go over to TikTok, that's what people love, is the raw stuff.
Yeah, and it's real. That's the thing. You get the real.
Right, exactly. The stuff that's happening around now.
So you ended up going, so now from Sacramento, where did you go?
All right, sweet. So we're back in Sacramento. I'm with Advanced IPM. That was, I would say that was honestly probably a lucrative role for me, right? I mean, it really kind of helped me. That's where I really got into being, you know, a technical director for a top 35 PCT, you know, top 100 company. And, you know, having 125 technicians, you know, 9 branches, X number of branch managers, service managers, you're basically kind of working with this entire team all the time. Right. And so it was just, that's where I would say I really, really, really got into compliance and regulatory, because taking over Debbie Scott's position as the safety person, I was forced to come into this role and learn all of the regulatory stuff for California in 3 months.
Oh, wow.
Which doesn't, that sounds like a lot of time to some people, but I promise you, it's not a lot of time.
Oh, no.
That not when you're doing everything else. And so, needless to say, I got really involved in some of the different associations like PCOC, Pest Control Operators of California. Mm-hmm. I actually became the chairperson for the Big Valley District, which is the largest district in the state of California. That turned into me. That was a very interesting time, too, because guess what happened in all this time is COVID. Mm-hmm. Right. So that was a very pivotal time to evolve, go from paper to digital, you know, do all these different things.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm trying to think like, so, you know, going from the paper to digital, that was also a time where with PCOC, we also had to pivot, right? Because we were having these in-person meetings. Mm-hmm. And that basically turned into having to take something like, you know, even like our raffles that were in person, now they're online. Right. So I had to start this online raffle ticketing system. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that kind of became a very successful thing. Continuing to raise money for the district, raising money for the state and so forth. And so fast forward through Advanced IPM, which we can come back to, I was with them for about 2.5 years. And then I kind of came to a point where I wasn't sure if I was really enjoying that role anymore because it was a lot of technology. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I really wanted to get back to the bug stuff. So I actually got the opportunity to work for a company called Douglas Products, and I became their manufacturing rep on the Vicane and Profume side. Are you familiar with Vicane Profume Fumigation?
No, not at all.
No,
because I'm assuming that would be branch one.
I'm sorry?
That would be branch one or?
Yeah, branch one, correct. Are you guys in California?
Yeah, we are.
Yes, we are.
Oh, where
we don't do any branch one work, but we're in California, yes.
Where are you at in California?
Sacramento.
Oh, funny enough.
Yeah.
That's where Advanced IPM is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, so I went over to Douglas Products. I became their rep for Vicane and Perfume, but I had to now move from Sacramento to Philly.
Back and forth.
So I moved to Philly and I became the Northeast rep, and that covered everything from Tennessee over to the East Coast all the way up to Canada.
Oh, wow.
And so, but that was a very interesting experience. That's where I got to dive in and learn a lot about fumigation. Vicane's on the residential side, Profume's on the commercial side. So I got to learn a lot about that, regulations, regulatory, all of the above, compliance. So that was a pretty cool thing. Did that for a year, did come to find out that I got tired. I hated giving stewardship trainings on Profume and Vicane. Probably like one of the most painful things ever.
Hmm.
So decided to part ways with that. And then I got a job with AmGuard. AmGuard is AKA AmBac. They sell Navigator. Have you heard of Navigator? That's the Navigator SC, which is the competitor to Termidor for termites.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they sell Navigator. They sell, I'm trying to think of the other ones. Sorry. They sell the BTI briquettes. They sell quite a bit of stuff. And so anyway, I took a job with them and they moved me from Philly now to San Diego. So I've literally gone from Florida, Colorado, Michigan, Sacramento, Philly, San Diego.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Came over now. AmVac was a really, really cool job. That, I mean, I love doing trainings on the product stuff because it's all about bugs. You know, it's all about the product, the active ingredients, the mode of actions, everything that goes on with that. So did that for a little while, and then they restructured, of course. So it's always fun when a company restructures. So that's when I kind of segued from them into now director of operation for Innovative Pest Solutions. And that brings me to where I am now.
Nice. Awesome. Okay. And Innovative Pest Solutions, what do you do over there?
I mean, as the director of operation, I feel like it's oddly enough a big hodgepodge of everything I've done in the past. Right. I mean, it's still bug stuff. It's still safety and compliance. I've helped them kind of, you know, get a lot of that off the ground. I mean, it's still putting together CEU trainings on a monthly basis for the entire team. We use a software called Licensed with a Y. Mm-hmm. It's basically a sister software to Clipboard with a Y. So it's kind of that same parent company. But Licensed is a great, great, great software for managing all of your CEUs in-house as well as you can use it as onboarding for all of your LMS as well for a learning management software system. So great software if you've never heard of it, but everybody should go take a look at it, licensed with a Y.
Okay.
That's great info for listeners and viewers.
Yeah. But outside of that, it is, obviously looking a lot more into the number side, because as a director, you have to be involved in all the AR and all the day-to-day, managing two branch managers, aka service managers. I have a new director of training that we have now. I've got a QA person that I have to manage. And so definitely a lot different on the director of operations side than any other role I've had. Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
It's okay. Different in a good way. You enjoy what you're doing? Is it different in a good way? Do you enjoy what you're doing now?
I definitely enjoy it because I always love learning something different, right? I think it's just different in general because it's just, I don't know. It's different because I'm like, now I'm playing with numbers, right? And I'm looking at all this stuff. But I mean, I don't know. I love being creative and innovative. So it's creating spreadsheets. And like the other day I created a spreadsheet for overtime so we can manage overtime from all the employees. So it's just, it's always hopping and jumping.
Oh yeah.
What do you guys, run a pest control company or what do you do?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, we're running here in Sacramento, pest control company. Yep. Creating everything, doing pretty much everything that you're talking about, creating.
What is your company?
We typically keep it out of the podcast. We can talk about it off the air. The only reason why we keep it off the podcast is, we don't want to interfere with anybody who's starting a company and things like that. We kind of kept that out of it. I don't like to shed light on it. That's not the point of the podcast. The point of the podcast is training, teaching, education. Not about what we're doing on the backside, but we do have one. We're running it on that side of things. Aaron's over operations. He's running the guys, the technicians, and I'm in the office running all the back end stuff.
Fair enough. Well, the cool thing is, especially with you guys being in California and me being in California, we can definitely make this a little more California heavy, right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice. And so back when I was with Douglas, I got tasked with a project where I had to go through every state in the United States. And I had to learn licensing for every state.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
And so it was very interesting, right? Because what it made me realize is like somebody like Arizona, right? You go to apply for a CEU. Guess how long it took me to get approved for a CEU in Arizona?
Don't even know.
10 minutes.
Whoa. No.
10 minutes.
Did you just sign your name?
No, I mean, you have to fill out, right? You have to fill out all this stuff. But I mean, it was still like, you didn't have to pay anything. You just emailed it, which is awesome. And then bam, they're like, you're approved. Here's your number.
Whoa. Interesting how that worked. Yeah.
I'm like, you do that here in California, and it's like, how many days have gone by? How many weeks have gone by?
Months.
Yeah. How many months have maybe gone by?
Yeah, and that's pretty crazy because that's exactly, different states always interest me though, because you have different rules and regulations and things like that. I mean, you have some people posting on social media, they're grabbing their B&G without any gloves, they're not wearing safety glasses. And maybe that's not, across all states that's okay. And maybe they're just posting stuff they shouldn't, but it always amazes me that people are doing that just without knowing what they're touching.
Yeah. So you make a good point, Daniel, and we should kind of like focus on that for a second.
Yeah.
Those laws are not state laws, right? So those laws are federal laws because it's the law, the label is the law, right?
Yeah.
So we read the label, whatever the PPE says that we have to wear on the label, that doesn't change across the state.
Yeah.
That's definitely a nationwide thing. And so anybody, I've seen those, like you said before, where like, I watched this one guy on TikTok and he's doing an application. He's not wearing gloves. And I'm like, dude, you're killing me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why? Even like, and the scary part is even like, if you watch TikTok videos for these, plain Jane residential people at home that are trying to promote a product to help people. And they're mixing the product and they're doing everything and they're not wearing gloves. And I'm like, dude, you are killing me, Smalls.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. The stuff that they're doing.
Where are your gloves? Like, just read the label. I mean, let's face it. How many, I would say, common residents at home actually read the product labels on any of their products underneath their kitchen counter?
Oh, nobody does.
Yeah.
They just take it out and they're like, spray, 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 clean, clean, clean.
Yeah.
Everybody, no does everybody know what the largest organ in our body is?
Oh yeah,
the skin.
The skin.
Mm.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, and but you know that's the thing. I mean, that's why, and it's kind of, it's I'm both. It's sad, but it's also funny at the same time. It's like the whole Roundup thing. It's like Roundup caused cancer and all that. And it's like, well, you probably weren't even using gloves. You probably were out there barefoot with Roundup in your hand, spraying it on weeds while you're, you know, one Sunday morning because you got to go kill the weeds. And it's like, well, no wonder you got cancer. I mean, it's not that crazy. Like, what do you expect to happen?
100%. I mean, you can guarantee that person wasn't wearing gloves in over how many years? X number of years?
Oh, yeah. Every weekend. Long-term
exposure. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, well, I mean, the writing was on the wall. I mean, you didn't see that coming. I mean, all the years of spraying out in the, you know, out in the sun, you're out, you know, I'm like, it's probably, you caught cancer. It's not that big of a shock.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they were going after the big players. So it's like, let's do it.
Yeah. Well, it's all about money, you know.
100%.
But on your, what you filled out for us, you know, you did put on here something that you did want to hit on, and there's a few points. And you talked about pest control software implementation, the impact devices. What did you want to hit on that? What did you mean by all that?
You know, I think with pest control software, I try to like get a lot of folks to realize that A, there's a lot of options out there. Mm-hmm. And B, you know, if you're wanting to change softwares and or implement a software, you know, here's my advice. If you want to implement a software, you want to do a little bit of research, right? Talk to your friends, get some good reviews. And also make sure if you're interviewing a pest control software company that they actually have like a cookie cutter database for you. Right. And by that, I mean, like they kind of have like a slate where like if you don't want to sit here and maybe, you know, do like a conversion or go implement everybody, you just want to kind of do it manually. You want that cookie cutter database that has all these target pests, all of these, you know, types of devices, tin cats, rodent bait stations, all of the materials already in there with the EPA, the active ingredient. So you just want to have that standardized cookie cutter database where you can just go and, you know, take it and go.
Mm. Yeah.
So that would be on the initial startup side. If you're trying to do a conversion, it's extremely important to make sure that you are taking the time to do kind of like a soft launch, right? So you might want to take one technician, get your new software set up. Obviously, you need to do a conversion with all of your apples to apples, your database parameter tables. And then once you're ready to actually soft launch it, take one technician and just let them go play with it. Take your best technician and let them go play with it. Right. Let them work out all those kinks. Let them find all the bugs that you might need to find. That mm-hmm. way, you're not trying to take your entire team and put them on this new software and then end up running into all of these issues.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because we have, as you know, Aaron, being, you know, the operation person, you have enough to deal with every day other than trying to deal with software, backend stuff, service reports that aren't reporting correctly, you know, all of the above.
Sure.
Does that kind of answer your question?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no. Keep going on that point.
Well, the other thing I was going to hit on with the software too, which we haven't really gotten into, is there's a lot of options for the ERMs, the electronic rodent monitoring. Are you guys familiar with those, like Bell Sensing, ActiveSense, all the different players out there?
Yes, I am. I have mixed feelings about that.
Talk about it. What are your mixed feelings? I mean, we're not going to name your company, but let's talk about it as a company person, right? As running a pest control company. What are your mixed feelings about an ERM?
Well, first, I guess let's clarify. So ERM, and you're talking about what devices?
Any type of electronic rodent monitoring device, AKA Bell Sensing, ActiveSense, Skyhawk, TrapMate. There's a lot of options out there.
Yeah, you know, when they first came to market, I loved it. I loved the idea of it. I loved everything about it. I thought it was a great idea.
Okay.
Price, terrible in our industry. Super expensive for a single trap to go off to tell us that there is something there with not a massive kill rate, right? So we're catching one rodent. I get notified. I'm going to go back out there anyway. But there was, and even if it's a miscatch, you know, it's still sensing that the trap went off. So you could go out there and you would not see anything, but you were going out there more frequently because the trap was getting set off, but you weren't catching anything. And these are beginning stages. They may have come a long way now, because I've put a lot of that on the back burner because of the pricing of it. And, you know, some of the system flaws behind it. The camera devices are probably the best, I would, in my opinion, because you can see, and I can set up dozens of traps with the camera seeing all of them.
Right.
And so we can get live footage sent to us. Those monitoring systems where you're getting actual visual feed, 100%, that's my style. You get into the trapping, even the bait stations, you know, where you can see if a rodent went in. You know, I think there's a lot of hype behind, we want to know that, we want the customer to know that. The customer doesn't typically care. Right. It's good information for us, but it's not a good selling point for the customer. Is, hey, I'm going to charge you X amount, hundreds more, you know, to place out a special bait station that's going to tell me if it's actively getting hit or not.
Right.
Which isn't a good selling point. And I think some of those points is what a lot of those companies missed. I think they were so excited to go electronic that they forgot to really dial in. Do you know what we do out in the field? We're out in the field. I'm out in the field. Aaron's out in the field.
Right.
We are out there day to day. And I think there was a lot missed that they should have put a little bit more focus in to make more sense on some of those monitoring devices where, you know, and there's another one. It's not electronic, but the birth control for rodents. That was another big one. I was super excited until I heard the price. And I'm like, holy crap, my cost alone is like $150 to set up one bait station.
Right.
One that no one's going to do that. Maybe a state entity would, but you get into a bigger facility, unless their rules are saying otherwise, nobody's going to do that. Not when you got Joe Blow over here who can set up 20 bait stations for the same price. You know, so...
Are you guys more residential or commercial, or are you mix?
Oh, we're mixed.
If I can shed some light, when I was with Advanced IPM, before I left, we had installed 5,000 bell sensing devices across the entire state of California. We only used the IQ tray, which was basically would fit right into the Eber Rodent base station. We would only use that basically commercially. And we would use it for large, like, you know, large, you know, food auditing warehouses, like things like that. Right. Because in that sense, it made sense if a technician was going out there every week. Right. And he could basically walk up to the facility, open up his phone and all the data comes in within 100 feet of any Bluetooth device. Mm-hmm. Right. And so he could walk the perimeter, get all the data. And it was actually saving him wear and tear on his knees. Right. He wasn't having to get up and down and check every device. Now, he still had to replace the bait monthly, right? Because that's kind of required. But he wasn't having, like I said, do the bending down, even on the 10 cats. So Bell Sensing has the 24/7 tracker, which is their 10 cat, right? Again, if you're in a warehouse, I literally walked a warehouse with a guy where he had 125 24/7 trappers. We walked the facility. Instead of it taking him 2.5 hours, we walked the facility in 45 minutes and we had 5 catches. Everyone that had a catch, we checked it and there was a rodent in there.
Good.
Let's look at it from the perspective of the T-Rex trap, right? You've got a residential house where you want to put a T-Rex trap up in their attic, right? Because there's a rodent issue. Okay. Let's say Miss Jones, you go out to Miss Jones's house and you go out to check it. She's not there, even though she told you she was going to be there. Now you're in the truck. You can literally open up your phone and get the data. Oh, there was no catch. Hey, Miss Jones, just want to let you know I was here. I know you weren't here, but because of our lovely technology, we were able to check your device anyway. And here's your data. No catch. Yep. You know, it decreases the, especially if you're doing the T-Rex and you're doing it up in drop ceilings, it decreases the up and down on ladders. What's the number one workman's comp claim in the state of California? Ladder falls. So imagine if you can even decrease that opportunity for that. So I think there's a lot of ways to A, think about what it can do for you from the safety side, and then B, if you incorporate it into, if you incorporate it into the, basically the cost for the customer, and you kind of like look at it from a different perspective, like the technician now can spend less time potentially at that stop, or the customer is going to get frustrated, right? Because they pay for 2 hours. So they want you there for 2 hours. Now I can check all my stations faster and I can focus on hotspot activity. I can focus on other things at that actual location where maybe I wasn't able to focus on before. You know, I mean, I know at least with our company now, we get a lot of challenges where the technician feels like they're having to just go there and do a real quick treatment and get onto the next one, right? Mm-hmm. So I love the idea of some sort of technology, because that way they don't necessarily have to feel rushed and they can spend more time focusing on that actual, you know, customer and looking at potential points of entry, other things, you know, where they can do add-ons for the customer and help provide additional protection.
Yeah, no. I think there's always a positive, you know, to the technology. And I agree with you. You know, you could show up to a house and you're checking a trap, you know, from outside and they're not home. You know, I think those are all, you know, valid points and great things. I just think in the grand scheme of thing on our side and what we've run into and what we see, I don't think the technology's there yet. I think it will be. I don't doubt it. I 100% think it's going to get better. And I think they're going to start to realize and learn some of these things that are going on.
Right.
And even those facilities, yeah, you know, you can cut out, you know, hour 45 from walking around. I think that's awesome. I think that's absolutely amazing. You know, that, you know, in some of those cases, that can be a big point. You know, I just, on some of those things, I still see some major flaws that aren't going to fulfill, you know, what we need to do as a technician, you know, because the other part of it is we don't understand how lazy some guys can get.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
And so you give them, you know, that time of saying, hey, you can cut that 2 hour, you know, job down to 45 minutes or 30 minutes. In a perfect world, that tech would go and look for entry points, right? And he should.
Right.
It probably won't. They'll probably just go on to the next job and call it a day. And that's where some of those things is. I think they're great. Camera, that's why I love the live feed. I can see it. I can record it.
Right.
I have it in-house, and we can go and bring a technician in and say, hey, look, this is where your trap placement is, right? We can see certain things, and we don't have to be. As management, we don't have to be on the field. We can see everything visually. But I think there's great things about it. I think there's absolutely awesome ideas. I think it's only going to get better, and it's going to get less expensive, where, you know, companies are going to be able to use it in a grand, you know, massive amounts of traps and massive amounts of tin cats and bait stations. And, you know, those are all going to be there. I just think it's we jumped the gun because we're hoping to be in this technology age is the pest control world. I just don't think they spent the time to really figure out all the kinks. They're doing what Apple does. Let's throw out a phone, even though it kind of seems, we'll just throw it out there anyway. We'll come up with an update later. And that's just the business you're in.
I don't know. I'm not saying I necessarily disagree with you. I think it's all about also you have to be creative with the use case scenario, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have to figure out like, how is it going to fit for you at the end of the day, right? As that PCO, as that pest control operator, because, you know, there's a lot of, like you said, even a lot of like Skyhawk Trapmate. They're a great example. I know they're a lot of wildlife, right? And they do a lot of wildlife stuff. But I mean, even when I was with Advanced IPM, I went out to Best Buy and I bought a Netgear Arlo camera, right? And then I went and bought a router. And I basically bought this outdoor weather protection box and I hooked it all up. And then I was basically installing that on wildlife traps. And we were able to get a lot of data that way. And we were able to take that kind of package that I created, which I think total cost was maybe $200. Mm-hmm. And then we could just replicate that. But I mean, that saved a technician not only time as far as going out to their, you know, going out to the location of the site, but managing their route, right? Because at this point now they're like, okay, I got a catch. I got to go take care of it. I don't have a catch. I can put that off till later, you know, make that a later, you know, stop for my route. And so I don't know. I guess I look at the technology perspective as taking the time to get to know it and see how it can fit into your, you know, into your operation as a PCO. Because like Nick Branko with Bell Sensing, I mean, like I'm only an advocate of Bell because I've obviously, you know, was partial to using them with Advanced IPM and we did a lot of them. And so especially as you start to deploy a lot of them, obviously that cost can decrease because you're getting a larger amount, right? And so I think you just kind of can look at it from that perspective as well. And so, but I definitely see your point as well. It's the price is probably the scariest part for everybody because it is expensive. But again, I would encourage people to reach out to folks like me, reach out to folks like, you know, other people who have been well vetted in this industry, because again, if you just take the time to be creative and innovative, I think you can find a way to sell it to the customer and incorporate that price into your hourly production.
Yeah. No, and that's where the big, that's the biggest point, you know, where when they started coming out with everything, the price point was so high. It was, if I raise my rates, someone else is going to get the job. You know, there is a price break point, you know, that most people don't understand. And there's also too cheap. You know, this is another big thing that people don't understand. Because there's a lot of guys, technicians, they jump from a big company and they start their own company and they say, well, they're charging 89, I can charge 50. And it's like, yeah, you can. You just can't live off of that. You can't create something off of that. Right. You can charge that. You just can't pay people to actually help you and you can't grow with that. And I think that's another thing that the industry has to understand is, you know, there's so many people starting companies. And if I'm just using a Victor rat trap, you know, that's a dollar compared to, you know, a snap trap that is Bluetooth capable for 50, you know, there's a big difference there. I can charge the customer way less. I'm going to beat you. I'm going to win. You know, you may save time, but I will get more jobs than you at the end of the day, because I can lower that price to the general public. And I'm going to win, you know, in some points you won't, because if you get into a massive facility, I agree with you on that. You're in a health facility. You're in a production facility. Oh, right. No. You have to use technology 100%. You got to be better at that. We, you know, we're doing that. We're setting up cameras in far out areas. So we're not having to go out there and we're saving drive time, gas, you know, manual labor hours, everything. You know, I think that's where it's there is they, and they will come out with it, right? Bell's going to come out with it. They're going to come out with a cheaper product. They will, because they have to. And we're going to have to keep that cost where it sits, where it's going to make sense to the customer and to the general public, because you are going to get this guy who breaks off of a company. He's going to go right back to wooden traps and you're going to be in that battle again until that price point can get to, you know, where I can say, hey, look, I have technology and I can show you. Right. He doesn't. And that's where we're going to start winning that battle. And we're going to start to be able to use, because I'm huge on pest control software. We've purchased a company. We acquired one and they didn't have anything. They were running on paper and it was a nightmare. We had a switch.
You acquired a company that was on a pest control software?
Yeah, that was not using one.
Oh, yeah, that's just a super nightmare, because then you're having to like manually input everything.
Yes, and I was looking at another one acquiring. I was going to acquire another one, and they literally had a book that was full of all their – actually, two of them – that was full of all their customers that they do every other month, and it was just an absolute nightmare. I'm all for technology. I love it. I love everything about it. It makes so much more sense. I met a guy in Florida and he didn't even have, he was running on paper and he was running a termite company. And he's like, I have like seven staff in my office just doing paperwork all day long. I'm like, no, you need to get rid of that. You need to, if you go to a software company, you're going to cut those people in half, maybe even more.
Yeah, fair. I mean, I don't want the people to lose their jobs, but you make a valid point.
Well, it's the day and age we live in, you know, it is. Yeah, it is what it is. But the next point that you kind of were talking on is social media marketing. What expertise do you have in that?
Well, real quick, if we can back up, because you made a really good point earlier about, you know, technicians in the field and potentially being lazy. And I think it's a good thing to point out that every company should have a solid quality assurance program built into their, you know, into their whole platform. And if they don't, you know, it's something that I've actually built out for Vista, for this company as well. We actually use a software called Smarter Launch. They're based out of Arizona. They're a really cool software. They were actually built as a proposal software for selling. However, we have been able to manipulate it to become our quality assurance software. So we use that now, and we actually go out and we do a quality insurance inspection on every technician once a month. We use it for vehicle inspections. We use it for, it's just, I try to tell people a lot of times you can manipulate most softwares to do what you want if they have the capability.
Oh yeah.
But you definitely should have a good quality assurance program, you know, as part of your, you know, whatever you want to call it, as part of your company. Sorry.
Yeah.
On to the marketing social media aspect. So, you know, I think with social media, I mean, I don't know if you guys saw my TikTok, but I've got a decent following. And so I started my TikTok back actually during COVID, right? My wife was like, because I was actually, I didn't even tell you guys this, but my first job out of college, I was a seventh and eighth grade science teacher. And okay. So, you know, I during COVID, there's all these kids at home. And my wife was like, hey, you should go use TikTok to do something for the kids, right? So I started making 60-second science lessons for kids. That was kind of my goal because they're at home. They want something fun to see. So I started doing that. That unfortunately didn't, you know, go the direction I wanted it to go. So at that point, I had to pivot and kind of redirect and figure out what's going to be the next catchy thing, right? What's going to help me get to that point where I want to be. And so I think I started TikTok in whatever that was, 2021, maybe 20. I know COVID started in what, like February of 2020. So I think I started TikTok somewhere in 2021. But I think my whole point to all of that, even for anybody listening today, is that, you know, A, social media is extremely impactful, right? Extremely. Like, I even watch guys right now who own pest control companies out of the Northeast that have like hundreds of thousands of followers. You know, I don't know what kind of like ROI they get from that, but honestly, like, who cares what kind of ROI you get? You're getting exposure and it's free.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Huge. You know, the key to, you know, TikTok especially is that, you know, you have to make sure that, and maybe, and this is honestly with any social media, you have to make sure you're using the proper viral hashtags, right? And so you typically want to Google or search the top 10 viral hashtags for whatever platform you're actually going to post on, whether it be TikTok, Insta, Facebook Reels, whatever it is. Now there's like, there's literally Insta Threads. There's all kinds of stuff coming out. There's a new one now called Clapper. So that's interesting. And then they're actually talking about now bringing TikTok notes to the States. So that can actually replace TikTok so we don't have to lose it.
Oh,
okay. Oh wow.
But basically any of these social media platforms, again, you want to make sure that you're using, you're posting every post with the top 10 viral hashtags. You want to post 2 to 3 times a day in the beginning if you can, because consistency is also key with trying to get yourself, you know, get that presence, get that viewership. Maybe adding like a viral song to the background, you know, but I try to tell people if you're going to add a song, make sure you adjust your audio up and take the volume of the song down, right? Because I don't want to hear you competing with the song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Unless that's part of the video. So, but yeah, I mean, even LinkedIn is a powerful tool. I mean, I tell people to post on there, you know, so it's like there's the only downfall with LinkedIn is that LinkedIn is geared to be more professional. You're not going to have a lot of residents on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, from the marketing aspect, I think I'm just trying to encourage people to take advantage of social media because it is huge. It's not that hard to do. I'm more than happy. Anybody can reach out to me anytime. I'm more than happy to help them. It really isn't hard and it's easy to put together a marketing program. I mean, another good example is like, so we use Fieldworks at Innovative. And so they have a capability in their software built in called a marketing campaign, right? So literally a few weeks ago, because what is it right now we're coming upon? Mosquito season, right? Mm-hmm. Those 80s ankle biters are like out and they're tearing people up and you're going to get calls like crazy. Mm-hmm. So I built an entire mosquito control program. I basically put it into the marketing campaign in Fieldworks and I send it out to all of our existing customers. Easy, free. You know, you're going to touch all your customers. I'm actually able to see the open rate of the actual marketing campaign. So, I mean, mm-hmm. I think within probably 2 weeks, we had 100 calls for add-ons for mosquito control.
Wow.
Yeah, and just awesome. So you're aware, we're 99% commercial. We hardly do any residential.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So you have to imagine 100 people adding on commercial mosquito control. That's huge.
Oh, yeah. Dang.
So I think what I'm trying to, you know, the message I'm trying to get across here is to empower people to, you know, take the time, be creative, you know, make sure you're using all of your current software's functionality and capability to the fullest. It's there for a reason.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you 100% on that. You have so many free platforms out there that can, you know, get so much exposure. Use it to your advantage. And people don't understand that. It's like, you don't have to advertise if you don't want to. You can pay and boost your posts and things like that. Right. But you don't have to. Just use it. And you start to get a big amount of traction behind it. And it can boost. I mean, it can grow you so fast.
I mean, have you guys watched, the Goins Foundation?
Uh-huh.
Go on to LinkedIn and looked up, I think it's Noel Goins and Ryan Goins. Uh-huh. They're like a power couple down here in LA. And so they started a pest control business, but she's putting stuff, you should definitely go follow her. She's putting stuff on, they're putting stuff on LinkedIn all the time, but they did one for WebOut, the product WebOut the other day.
Uh-huh.
And it's the funniest thing ever. And it's just, they're always being creative and innovative. She's also an actress on the side in Hollywood. And so they're just putting together really cool stuff. But I mean, I think the point of it is that it's so easy just to take a little time and be creative and innovative and put together something very simple. And, you know, you don't need a social media post to be honestly longer than like 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just so everybody knows, the average watch time on TikTok, any TikTok video is 5 seconds.
That's longer than I thought.
That's your average watch time for any TikTok video.
Yeah.
Wow.
So really, the key back in the day was 7 seconds. That's how long you wanted your video to be.
Mm. Oh, okay. Huh.
So, you know, it's like, you don't need it to be long. Doesn't need to be complicated. You just want to get to the point, be creative, deliver the message, and, you know, go from there.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Adam, and I know we're kind of getting close to being up on time, but where can they find you? Where can they reach out to you? Do you want to throw that out there?
Yeah. I mean, I honestly just give out my number. It's 352-408-6122. And yes, that is still a Gainesville, Florida area code because I never left my number go. So again, it's 352-408-6122. I'm on LinkedIn, TikTok, YouTube, Insta, Facebook, all of the above, you know, and it's just, again, especially with the social media aspect. I mean, I didn't even know what Facebook Reels, do you guys know what Facebook Reels is?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't even know what it was till like a few months ago. And I was like, all right, what's this thing? They were running a contest because Facebook and Insta are owned by Meta. Mm-hmm. Right. And so they were running a thing where it was like, oh, go, you know, post some videos and they were giving away like up to $1,000. So I was like, all mm-hmm. right. So I went and created a Facebook Reels account. I flooded it with a lot of my old videos from my TikTok account. And within 2 days, I had 17,000 followers and I got the $1,000.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
I started my Clapper account like 3 weeks ago and I've already got 9,000 followers and I'm a verified entomologist on there now.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, you know, and Adam, thank you so much. I know we ran out of time. We didn't have to hit on those 2 points. So we'll have to get back in contact with you so we can finish what we came on to talk about. But thank you so much for taking time to jump on, you know, to share that information, share your number. And, you know, that was a big thing I liked when you did put in at the very end was essentially there's people out here that are willing to help and you're one of them. And I appreciate that, you know, I really do. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to push good information and education, in the pest control world. And you're doing that. And I do want to thank you for that. Helping out and I mean even jumping on this social media and being that leader there and showing, hey guys, it's not that hard, just do it.
Mm-hmm. Just do it. Knowledge is power, you know, so we're here to try to help out. And I think the pest control industry is way smaller than everybody gives it credit for.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think we need to all be here to, you know, help each other, empower each other, and, you know, again, knowledge is power. So I'm always here to just try to make somebody's day a better day.
Yeah, no. And thank you so much, Adam, for coming on, and have a great weekend.
Thanks. Bye, Daniel. Bye, Aaron.
All right, see ya. All right. There it is. Adam.
Dang, I can tell he'd be good at sales.
Yeah, no. Definitely extroverted, outgoing. It's good. And people watching, I know they're probably going to say, you know, we got heated. We're going back and forth. We're arguing, me and Adam, about some of the ERMs and the devices. And I want people to know that, because I was thinking about it as we were coming up to the close, is when you have differing opinions, that's when we learn. That's when we grow.
That's where growth happens. Yeah.
100%. You know, so he's an advocate for that. He's a technology guru. He loves that stuff. That's everything he does. I enjoy it. I love it. I love the implementation of it. I love how streamlined stuff can get, you know, but those opinions start to create, hey, open your eyes. You get to see both sides, which is cool. So I do appreciate Adam, you know, taking a little bit of time to go back and forth with me on that. You know, because I'm sure people are going to say, you know, now we didn't get him now or whatever it is, but it's all in good fun. And that's exactly what it's about, is I want to be proven wrong. I hope I'm not right all the time. I hope that someone comes in and just slaps me in the face, and because that's what's going to make me a better person. And so it's always good to have those discussions. So I do appreciate you, Adam, and coming on and being vulnerable on the podcast.
Yeah, I think it was great stuff. And even me on the sidelines watching and listening, I didn't think it was anything negative. I thought it was cool because, you know, you and I on the business side, you know, we do try out new things when the need arises for it, but we're not like die hard one way or the other way, you know, and neither was he, because he's gone through these experiences and implemented them on small and large scale things. So he can speak from a place of experience. So And like you said, I learned a lot just listening to you guys go back and forth on it, you know, at least from him and some of the stuff that he's done. So I think it was great too. And I like how he kind of broke down actually how simple it is to get started on the social media side, and about getting a software system, and all that stuff was great for the listener. So,
yeah, honestly.
Definitely. But Adam, if you're listening to this, thank you again. We're going to be reaching back out to you once we start implementing some of the ERMs on our side. Guys out there, any questions that you want to, you know, ask him? He dropped his number. If you want to follow up something on this episode, please let us know. I mean, you know, we have our Instagram, we have our YouTube, we have our Facebook, but also our website. It's a great place where you can submit questions directly for the end of the month Q&A, or if you just want to ask us privately and we can respond back to you, whatever you want to do. But we just want a way to connect with you guys, because we do appreciate the support that you have for episodes that drop every Monday and Thursday. So thank you again for listening to the DNA Pest Control Podcast.